Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith. The host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied in the Baptist Theological College. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you are now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host out of Miami, Florida, none other than Apostle Doris Smith. And we also have in the studio with us the amazing evangelist Jerry Perkins. We are so delighted to have you tuned in on today. We'd like to apologize for last week. I had this trouble in the studio. If you were calling and trying to get in, that was why you were getting a busy signature. So now today we are just going to go over what we did, what I did last week. I had to go forth with the show, even though it wasn't no callers, couldn't come into the studio. But I pray that you went and you did went back into the website and was able to hear some of the message from last week. On today, our topic will be redeemed love, bought with a price. And before we go into our topic, as always, let's bow our head for our opening prayer by our co-host.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today and we praise you. We give you all the honor, we give you the glory, and we give you the praise. We thank you for who you are and the amazing, awesome things that you continue to do through the power of no greater love, which you have shown and shared with us on a daily basis. You daily load us with your benefits. Lord, we ask you today to touch our amazing, awesome host today, Dr. Chapman. We thank you for Evangelist Perkins and myself. We pray and thank God for our listeners today and pray that this information that is shared today on the topic, praise the Lord, of being redeemed, bought with a price, will be a blessing to all that's listening. In Jesus' name we pray and say amen.
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 I remember, listen, you too can join in on this conversation and on this topic that we have for today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions or comments, I just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topic. We're going to get started in a minute, but I just want to just let you know that our topic today is such an awesome topic. Redeem love bought with a price. Redeem love bought with a price. And those of you that's in the body of Christ know that how we are redeemed was through his blood. God sent his only begotten son, and he died and suffered on the cross. And through his suffering and his blood that he shed, we can say that we are redeemed and we are bought with a price. So we're going to let our co-host go forth first on today. She have an awesome lesson prepared for you. And after the co-host, we will hear from Evangelist Perkins, and I'll come back with get in the conversation a little later on. So right now we're going to get our co-host.
Good evening. God bless you all. We are so grateful for our listeners today. We truly thank and praise God today for our amazing host. Praise God, Dr. Chapman, Norma Chapman today, and for Evangelist Perkins. For each and every one of you, we have such a beautiful topic to share on today. Praise God, as we're talking about redeemed love bought with a price. We realize today, praise God, that God, not only did he create us in his beautiful image, in his likeness, praise God, but he redeemed us. He bought us back, bought us through a price. In other words, we had taken ourselves to a place because remember, we were in sin. We were yet, while we were yet in our sin, he didn't wait till we get it all together. He didn't wait till we were all sparkling and clean and because we couldn't do it ourselves anyway. But he saw where we were, praise the Lord. And because of his love and because he's the only one that qualified to redeem us back and the only one qualified to redeem time, praise God, he purchased us with his blood. No one qualified to go to that cross of Calvary and lay down their life but the Lord. And even on his trail there, praise God, he said, nevertheless, remembering that it wasn't about what he wanted and how he wanted his will, but he was doing the will of his Father. And that's exactly what we should remember today as we serve the Lord, as we have accepted him as our personal Lord and Savior, receiving salvation, understanding the benefits of that salvation and the price that has been paid for us to have eternal life. I just want to share a scripture, one of my favorite scriptures of this topic, and it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. And it says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And this takes us back to the word of God where it says there now is no condemnation. We've been made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, him purchasing us back, him redeeming us back, bringing us back from where we took ourselves. Because remember, he never knew sin, never committed sin, never did anything that would have validated him suffering like he did. But he was the only one qualified, and his Father sent him, praise God. So when we think about ourselves and what lives on the inside of us, we don't want to defile this temple. We don't want to do anything that's displeasing to the Lord. But for you to know what's displeasing, you got to study. You got to know. It's more than just saying, I'm saved. I've accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior. Now you have to get in a place where you're being taught the word of God and you study the word so you know the do's and the don'ts, so you know what's pleasing to the Lord and what displeases him. Our body is the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of us. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we step out of line as a child of God, the Holy Spirit speaks. That's a trinity. That's a Trinitarian connection, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lets you know that the Lord's not pleased, and either you can accept and say, you know what, this is not right. This is not something I should be doing. This is not what represents Christ. This is not his characteristics. Listen, I'm more valuable. I'm worth it. I'm not boasting and bragging in yourself, but boasting and bragging about your God. There's a song that says, let me brag on my God. It's always good to boast and brag on who he is because there's no failure in him. He can do anything and everything, but what he cannot ever do, and that is fail. So when we look at ourselves as being one that accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you something, you are worth it. He thought you was worth it. He paid a high price. There is no price in this world that will ever be, that will ever could be, will match up to the price that Jesus Christ paid for us with his blood. He shed his innocent blood on that cross, praise God, to give us a chance, praise the Lord, to have eternal life. We have been purchased with the highest price that ever was and ever will be, redeemed back through the blood of Jesus Christ. God bless you. I'm going to yield back to you. As I was just saying, yielding back to Dr. Chapman, I'm going to go ahead and yield to Evangelist Perkins to bring her in so she can also share with you on this beautiful topic, redeemed, bought back. It was love that did that, Evangelist Perkins.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Jesus Christ redeemed us by his passion, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. To redeem means to buy back something that has been lost, sold, or given away. Because of the original sin and our personal sin, we were slaves of the devil. But Jesus freed us. giving us the freedom of the children of God. For by his resurrection, he destroyed death and gave us the life of grace. Titus 2:13-14 says, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify us for himself, a people for his own possession. When we are redeemed, we become different people. When God redeemed Israel from slavery in Egypt, he made them a new nation and gave them a new land. Jesus reconciled and gave us peace with God. Therefore, since we have been made right with God, sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Romans 5:1, before God saved you, you were his enemy. By his death, Jesus brought reconciliation, peace between two people who he were enemies. God is now your friend. And Father and Son work together, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. 2 Corinthians 5:19, now that you are friends, he cherishes intimate relationship with you. It is your first priority. What plans have you made to devote your time development with friendship? And we know that because he redeemed us, that we are now able to follow him and do his will and to be a light before others, that they may see that we've been redeemed. And so now I would take it back to Evangelist Chapman.
God bless you. God bless you. I'm enjoying the apostle going forth as well as the evangelist Perkins. Turn with me if you have your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go to 19 and 20th verse. And I'm going to start reading up the 19th verse. Do you know that your body is a temple? I'm reading from the NIV version, okay? Of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. The 20th verse says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, note this. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter of Romans, the first and the second verse. It says, I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of Jesus Christ, that ye shall present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, it's saying there that, and in, just finished evangelist, and the verse that I just read saying that we don't own our body. We are, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. The inside of us is a temple. I'm open between the co-host and Evangelist Perkins, which would please get the radio or television or into the Lord Christ, so you can hear it in the studio. Someone has a radio or television saying, if you please just continue, please turn it off so the listeners can be able to hear the lesson on today. Thank you. In order for us to present our body to God as a living sacrifice, we must watch the things that we eat, the things that we do, that can disturb the temple, that can cause us to sin. But if we let this come into our bodies, then what? We're not presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. What we do has to be acceptable and pleasing in the eyesight of God. It may be pleasing to you, or it may be someone may tell you, oh, girl, that's a man, that's okay. You can do that. God understanding. No, God do not understand. because he's already said in his word, holy and acceptable in his sight. Holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. I'm going to ask again that the co-host or Evangelist Perkins, please discontinue the noise in your background. If you have to mute your phone at this time, mute it, so it will not be coming into the studio. You all are the only one that's live in the studio with me, and there's noise that's in the background and it's disturbing to our listeners. Would you please put your phone on mute if you have to move around or if any action going on in your house? Please discontinue it at this time. Then we're going to also look at that second verse. In order for us to understand what the word is telling us, the second verse tells us by the renewing of our mind so we can prove which is perfect and acceptable in the sight of God. And I'm just quoting it from my mind. I'm not reading it from the Bible now, so it may not be word for word. But what I'm trying to say in a whole is that going back to 1 Corinthians, the 19th and the 20th verse says that we don't own our bodies. Even it tells us about sexual activities. When we do things, I mean, that's not pleasing to God, is dealing with what we eat, or the kind of sins that can come into our lives, such as intercourses and things. If you're not with your husband or your wife, then that is against God's temple. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in an unclean temple. So that's why the Bible tells us, husband, submit yourself to your wife. Wife, submit yourself to your husband. And there also, Paul explained, when a man should have activities with their wife. There's a period that woman not supposed to be touched. And if you do that, then what you've done, you have went against God's word, and you have disturbed the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. So our temple, we must keep our temple holy and acceptable. And then we don't, and when the Bible said we were bought with a price, that price was when God sent his only begotten son and he shedded his blood on Calvary. Sins may be forgiven. Now, a lot of people get this twisted, and I don't want you to get it twisted on today. That don't mean that you can sin, go back and ask for forgiveness, and go back and sin again, and then go back and ask God for the same forgiveness, for the same sin he's forgiven you for. I tell people all the time, that's playing with God. If you know that you're going to sin tonight with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or you're going to go out and mess up on your wife and your husband, and then come talking about you got the Holy Spirit the next day because you didn't ask God to forgive you, but you're going to go right back and repeat the same sin again, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself, because at some point you should have knowledge and wisdom, and most of all, understanding of God's word. When Mary Magdalene, and they were getting ready to stone her, and Jesus was passing, and then Jesus asked, what sin did she do? And they explained to Jesus what she was doing. What did Jesus tell Mary Magdalene? He said, go and sin no more. Your sins have been forgiven. Go and sin no more. So when we repeatedly does things like that, that disturbs the spirit that's on the inside of you. You're either walking in the spirit or you're walking in darkness. You're either serving the devil or you're serving God. You cannot serve two masters. It can't be your way sometime and God's way another time. It don't work like that. God do not work. He's not a faucet that you can turn on and off and do what you want to do. He already explained to us right here in 1 Corinthians. Paul says that, do you not know that you do not own your body? We don't own our body. We don't own nothing that we have. Everything that we have belongs to God, even our body, our eyes, the nose that our nostrils breathe, our mouth, the activities of our limbs, all belongs to God. And is it so hard that we present our bodies to him as a living sacrifice and be holy and let it be acceptable in our sight for God? Is that so hard to do? It's hard when you haven't renewed your mind. It's hard when you haven't made up your mind to follow Christ. It's hard when you're trying to do two things or serve the devil and God. Then it makes it complicated in your life. Why? Because you do things and then you're feeling sorry about you done did it and you go and cry to God and you're so sorry that you, God, please forgive me, Jesus. And if you get caught by your wife or your husband, you're begging them to please don't leave you, please. So to keep you from getting in trouble with God or getting in trouble with anything else that's not right, that's not righteousness, don't do it. Don't do it. Because I know how do Evangelist Chapman know? Because I've been there and done that. But when I was doing my thing, I wasn't worried about how pleasing it was to God. I was trying to please myself, please my flesh. But did it work? No. It brought me down a road to destruction. It brought me with tragedy in my life, ups and downs and all kind of confusion and everything else that the devil can put into that ingredient. So we want to recognize that we belong to God. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son to come down so that we may not perish. And if you read the word, you read how they abused him, misused him, falsely accused him, and how he suffered. Don't let his suffering be in vain. Because when you do the right thing and you protect that temple of yours, you don't want nothing defiled to come in and disturb the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Comforter that he promised that he would leave with us, another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, keep us from all wrong. And if you want to stay on the inside of you and you want it to guide your path, you must guard it. That's watching what you eat, because you can, you can eat too much and you make yourself sick. Then there go the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Okay? And then you can do say something out your mouth. You can curse of bad language and everything that a person do that you look at, you see them doing. And by you being saved, you say, now, this is not of God. This is not right. But we must practice what we preach. Now, sometimes we're going to make a mistake. I'm not saying that you're not going to fall short of the glory of God. Yes, we do. But do we continue staying in sin? Do we continue to do it because God loves us so much and he's a forgiving God? Yeah, we're living on grace and mercy. But when you realize and have the knowledge of knowing that sin stinks in the natural of God, and what it does with Jesus Christ, it disappoints him. It disappoints him. Because he, 3 years, he taught on earth. He taught his disciples. And when he left and went back to heaven, sitting on the right hand of Peter and Abel Clay, every day, every second, every time we mess up, he reminded his father the price, the price that he paid, that we may say that we are redeemed. The song says, I am redeemed, bought with the price. Jesus, he didn't say nobody else that you know, your mama, your daddy, your brother. He said, Jesus have changed my whole life. And when you can say that, I am redeemed, bought with the price. We're not talking about no money, no diamonds, no furs, no homes, no cars, but Jesus Christ, his blood, that he shed it on Calvary for us. And I'm going to go let the co-host come back in. I know she's itching to say something, and after her, we're going to let Evangelist Perkins come back in and let him emphasize on this topic, redeemed love, bought with the price. Co-host.
Amen, amen. Praise God. As we just continue with this awesome topic, redeemed love, bought with a price. We got to know, as again, as said, that we are worth it. We are so valuable. Don't Don't just look at yourself and be your worst critic and your worst enemy to beat yourself up. God loved us so much. The price he paid for us was so high until his blood gives us the opportunity to be forgiven, to be able to repent for whatever wrong we do and be able to get back in right standings with the Lord. When we think about 1 Corinthians 3:16 and what it's really saying, it's speaking to the body as a temple, a place that there's a permanent residence. It's an awesome, it's truly an amazing privilege, as well as a big responsibility. When we realize that as men and women of God, our frail human body, think about that, is a temple of God. One of the blessings, many of the blessings and of the results of trusting in Jesus Christ our Savior is to have God's Holy Spirit come and reside in our lives. And he's there. And this is something that, when we look at this same scripture, we see Paul pretty much speaking to the Corinth and warning the carnal Corinthians, the Christians in Corinth, that they were seeking. And the reason he was doing this was because they were seeking to build up the church by means of their own might, their own strength, their own wisdom. They was trying to do it within themselves rather than the wisdom and the strength of the Lord. So Paul had to, you know, to share and warn them. He made a strong appeal. Listen here to these, in other words, the world of believers. He said, listen, remember the seriousness of the truth. You are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. You are to represent what lives on the inside of you. If the Lord lives on the inside of you, you ought to show some signs. There ought to be some characteristics of who he is. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit. He's the fruit. The characteristics are the things he operates in, the love, praise God, the joy. Praise the Lord. He said we ought to have some of that in our life. We can live our lives in we can't really do it when you think about it in our own strength. How can we do anything within ourselves? Without God, we're nothing. Without him, we could do nothing. We need him for everything, and we need him in everything. Now, look at it this way. We can live our lives in our own strength rather than abiding in the power of the strength of Christ, but look at the problem it's going to cause. Look at in every case you take the make the decision or make that turn to do that. This house we build will be a what? Wood. It'll begin to, when we do it, it don't represent number wood and hay and stubble. And we know what finally happens to that. It burn up. But and he said there's no good thing eternally saved but laying up. The only way you're gonna have anything that's saved for eternity, you gotta lay up your treasures in heaven. Anything you laying up here on this earth where dirt, rust, moth, all those things will absorb it and destroy it, it's vanity. If you want it to flow in the eternal and be saved, you got to lay it up in the treasures of heaven. Or otherwise, we can choose to submit to the Holy Spirit and what? Die to ourselves, and then that's the only way we're going to live for Christ. You got to die. The Word of God tells us we have to what? Die every day. That flesh got to die every day so you can really live. Until you die spiritually, as far as the flesh is concerned, speaking spiritually, until that flesh surrenders, until that flesh dies, you got to shed off this every day. That's why he say repent. There's not a day you should go where you don't repent. There's not a day that should pass by that you don't ask God to forgive you for things you have done, knowingly or unknowingly. Because guess what? You're not perfect. We are not perfect. The only perfect one is not returned. Listen, we have to seek him, ask him to wash us, ask him to clean us from things that we have done. You may think, oh, I've done well today. I've had no problem. I did everything great. It could have been the way you look at somebody. It could have been the way somebody interpreted your body language. Listen, we do things knowingly and unknowingly, so don't ever think you're so perfect that, oh, I had my day all laid out. Your name ain't Jesus, and neither is mine. That's why every day we ought to repent. Before we, when we get up in the morning, we ought to be thanking God that he has blessed us. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We can't live like we are own. We can't live like we got the power and authority to do what we want to do. And don't, no, no, no. We serve an almighty God. We're created to serve him. We ought to consult with him before we make a decision. We ought to seek his face and wait on him. How we do that? Through the power of the word and the power of prayer. We have to recognize this amazing privilege that we have, but we also have to recognize this huge responsibility and the serious truth that the Spirit of God has taken up residence in our bodies and lives and lives as unto, and we have to live unto the Lord. So every day we ought to pray and ask God to help us to better understand this amazing privilege and how serious the consequences is of having the Spirit indwelling in our body, and pray that we live our lives worthy of that calling of which we have been called. That's what we are. Live that life worthy, where our life sent off a sweet-smelling aroma, not to impress nobody else, not to imitate, duplicate, and perpetrate somebody else so they'll look at you. No, no, no. You want to make sure your life don't stink in the nostrils of the one that has to make the final decision of where your resting place is, whether it will be hell or whether it will be heaven. What a sad thing to live down here on this earth, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, some people are getting even 100 years old, and then lift your eyes in hell. What a sad, especially when you are professing and confessing Christ Jesus. And then after all of that, you hear the Lord say, depart from me. I know you not, you worker of iniquity. What a sad place. We're living to live again. So remember this scripture. Do you not know? Refresh, remind, remember, rewind, replay. Bow to the one has paid the ultimate price to you. Don't satisfy this flesh. Do the things that are pleasing to the Lord. He said we ought to love one another. How in the world are you going to love God, who you never ever seen, but you can't love each other every day, who you see on the jobs, in the neighborhood, in the community, in the church, some in the same choir, under the same leadership, but it's bittering and bickering? No. You got to know that you're a temple. What you carrying the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Evil and good is not going to live in the same place. It's going to be one or the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Scripture tells us that. You got to choose this day who you going to serve. Tomorrow is not promised. Look around. Look at the handwriting all over the wall in your city, in my city, in your state, in mine, out of the country, wherever you are in this world. The handwriting is on the wall because there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He knows everything, sees everything, and he is everywhere at the same time. You can say what you want to say, but your life, what you live, is going to tell everybody around you, the believer and the non-believer, your life is going to speak for you. So ask yourself the question, knowing what a high price you've been bought with. You've been bought with the greatest price. There's nothing that's more expensive than the cost of the blood. Nothing. And through that, he opened everything. He gave me the power, that same resurrection power that he got up with. We got that same. Listen here. He gave us the max in everything. He didn't, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking, everything. So let us just remember, we have been bought with an amazing life. And let us serve the Lord like we love him. God bless you.
Amen. I am going to, before Evangelist Perkins come back, I just want to just elaborate a little bit more, emphasize a little bit more on Romans, the 12th chapter. It's saying the 12th, do you know, Paul is saying, is telling us here in Romans 12:1, he says that we ought to dedicate everything about ourselves to God. Not just our possessions, money, time, energy, and effort, but also our bodies, heads, hands, like I said earlier, tongues, and even our minds, emotions, and attitude. Attitude. Let's talk a little bit about our attitude. You see, when you're talking about that you're doing things that's pleasing, acceptable to God, have we stopped sometime and checked our attitude? Now, listen, I'm not just talking to you. Sometimes I got to stop and check myself, my attitude sometimes. Because sometimes we get so frustrated, and people can cause us to step out of line. Then we find ourselves, our attitude get what? Get a little ticky, and we begin to say something, or you may even do something with your body emotions. You may do something with your eyes. All of that is a part of your attitude. And believe me, brothers and sisters in Christ, the saints of God, people are watching, especially if you're leaders out there. People are watching you. And how could we go to our friends and family and our communities and tell about the goodness of God when we have such a bad attitude ourselves? And like I said, sometimes Evangelist Chapman get out of line and my friends got to pull me back in line. But don't get upset. My pastor was teaching the other in our lesson. When you do not tell somebody the truth, you're not helping them, and you're not their true friend. When you see somebody that's out of line, you are supposed to say, look, my brother, look, my sister, this is not about. Then that's showing that you're concerned about them. But if you let them continue down that path, that's not love. The Bible says, whom you love, you're chastised. God chastises us. And if you love somebody, my pastor just taught that lesson. I think it was just Tuesday past, that a lot of people get upset with you, and they may not like it because you put them in line. But don't worry about that, because you're not trying to please them. You are doing what's to God. And also it tells us that we are to dedicate everything about ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, concentrated, and pleasing to him. This is our reasonable. Now, he said it's reasonable for us to do this. You know, Paul tells us that this is reasonable. It is a rational, intelligent service and a spiritual worship. Do you see that? When you dedicate, devote, pleasing, and holy, these things are reasonable in the eyesight of God. He said often we get the impression that to totally serve and worship God means to involve our bodies and spirits. But there is more. Paul said, there's more to that thing. Here Paul is saying that we are to serve and worship him with our mind and emotions also. Invite God to think and speak through you. Let him teach. Let him touch people through you. You can even serve God with your faith, smiling, and showing yourself to be friendly to other people. My Lord, did y'all get that, or did you miss it? God, allow God to use all of you. The more of yourself in your life that you release to him, the more you will be fulfilled and experience his peace and joy. And then I'm going to just elaborate a little bit on the second verse, and I'm not going to read it again, but those of you take your time and go and read it after the show. But I'm going to do a little emphasizing on it. It said, informs us, Romans 12 and 2 informs us that God has a plan in mind for you. Do y'all hear that in this one? He got a plan for us. The word tells us, and his plan is for what? To bless us, not to harm us. So when you don't do what's pleasing to God, you're knocking yourself out of a blessing. And somebody else that's doing it. And you see them being, God is elevating them. God is blessing them. Every touch is being blessed. That's because they're doing what's pleasing to God. His will towards us is good and acceptable and perfect. But we must completely renew our mind before we will even experience the good things. We got to renew our mind. God is not going to even allow us to experience what he has in store for us until we renew our mind to do what? To live holy and acceptable, pleasing to God. Everything we say and do, everything that we eat, activities in our lives, has to be pleasing and acceptable to God. And it says here that God has planned. We renew our mind and get new attitudes. Come on here now. And new ideas. But by studying God's word, his word is true. Now, I'm going to stop right here because it's Holy Spirit to deal with your mind right now, to deal with your spirit that you're carrying on the inside of you. And if you're carrying the spirit of God on the inside of you, if your temple is receiving what word is coming out that's being taught today, and your mind is accepting it not only in your mind, but you're able to eat the word. And after you eat that word, you say, now, Lord, I got to digest it. And once it gets digested, come on now, saints of God, then you can do what? Walk in the light, the beautiful light. And you can go where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. To tell the Lord to shine all around you by day and by night. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And that same Jesus is living on the inside of us. Come on, somebody. I wish I was in a church right now and somebody can tell me amen. But thank God for what he's given me, the little potion that he's given me to pour out to the listeners on today. And I'm going to, right now, I'm going to stop because I don't want to get a loose too much right here, but I'm going to let Evangelist Perkins come in and let her tell you what God is saying to her now, Evangelist Perkins.
Amen. Jesus saved us by shedding his blood on the cross. Jesus took the punishment we deserve and offered us his righteousness. When we trust Christ for our salvation, essentially we are making a trade. By faith, trade our sin and its accompanied death, penalty for his righteousness and life. Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross, and he overflowed darkness. Love provided a way for us to be forgiven once and for all. And once we have realized that we've been redeemed, then we should have a change in our life, like it already has been said. Our ways should be different. Our actions should be different. The way we speak, talk should be different. The way we live should be different. And we shouldn't be so quick to be angry with one another. When we think about what all Jesus went through for us and the blood that he shedded for us and the way that he wanted us to be, that alone should make us want to do like the Lord say do. So we should be able to forgive one another, because if we don't forgive one another, then God will not forgive us when we pray. And not even, no matter how small the situation is, we must forgive. We got to forgive. We got to love one another. And we, most of all, God's people, should try to understand those that's not in the fold or on a level that they are, and try to be more patient with others and let them see Christ in us, no matter what the situation is. We must learn how to hold our peace, how to control our feelings when others hurt our feelings, because we have denied ourselves and turned ourselves over to God, and we have been redeemed, so we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to him. So we will be happier and live better lives if we just let God take control of our life, and that we depend and lean and trust in him. And don't be so quick to get angry, because we ought to be able to stand a little line on, talked about, mistreated. Because when we think about all the things that Jesus went through for us, all the way to the end, to let us know how much he loved us, that alone is enough for us to be able to love one another. there shouldn't be nothing that would separate us from loving one another the way Jesus loved us. He gave us the example. He showed us the way of how he wanted us to be. And there is no excuse. We must continue to pray for strength and fast on that we be the way and the people that God would have us to be. Because truly it's a blessing able to follow Christ and let him know how much we appreciate him for all he's done for us, for his grace, his mercy, for his wisdom, knowledge and understanding of his word that he has given us. Now, I will turn it back over to Evangelist Chapman, the host.
God bless you. God bless you. Amen, amen. Listen, we do have some time in the show today. We have an hour show on today. You still have time to press that number one. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topic. Redeemed love bought with a price. And I also want to, Ms. Gloria Hall Johnson asked me to thank all of the listeners for the prayers that went out. She had surgery on Monday and reported back to me, said she come through with flying colors. That's what God will do for you. Prayers changes things. And we want to ask that the listeners continue to pray for her and pray for her recovery and pray for my family. We lost our brother up in Minnesota as they travel on Saturday going to Minnesota. And we pray for his wife. They both had corona, but he developed pneumonia in his lungs. And he's with the Lord. His wife came out the hospital on yesterday. So we want to keep her in our prayers and keep the Williams and Chapman family in your prayers. My brother Ray Williams, keep him in your prayers, as well as all of the other brothers and sisters. Also, we want to remember all of the sick and the shut in, and I'm just saying this now because sometimes when we get to praying at the end, we be going praying so fast, so we wait to the last minute to do the closing prayer. We want to keep all of those that's on the ventilators and are suffering with the coronavirus. We also want to keep those that are chained and bound in prison. Don't forget to pray for the ones that you know, Paul was in prison. And Paul, you know, he still gave God his life. And when he was converted, he said he'll let nothing separate him from the love of God. And he said he's a prisoner. He was a prisoner of God. You know, and I think one of our ministers preached that at our church as well. I enjoyed that sermon when he talked about how Paul minds. See, Paul had renewed his mind. I may be in a Roman prison, but I don't belong to a Roman. I belong to God. So I'm a prisoner of God. And that's how he was able. God gave him, he said he learned how to be content in whatever situation. And that's how God will give us that same contentment. God will give us that same peace. God will give us that same love that and comfort that he granted to Paul. You see, there's no particular person and God's outside. God loves us all the same. And you know what's so amazing about it? He even loved the ones that don't love him. He even loved the ones that do not serve him. Our God is an awesome God. I don't know about them who wouldn't serve a God like this. Who would not give their life to a God like this. So I want you to remember that and remember, listen, because that number one, I'm looking at the dashboard. I'm waiting to hear from some of you out there. Just press that number one and just let us know what the Lord is saying to you on today. And then I'm going to yield right here, and I'm going to put you back in the hands of the co-host. And Evangelist Perkins, you just finished your emphasis on what you were saying. So co-host, is there anything else you want to add? Because we do have a little bit more time left in the studio. We want to open up our lines to our callers on today. Come on, callers, hit that number one on your phone and just come on in and just join in on this conversation. And I know God has done something for somebody out there. God has done something for somebody. And that song said, You've done so much, and I can't hold my peace. I got to tell some, I got to run and tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord. And with that being said, until someone press that number one, we're just going to go right on and continue to keep talking about redeeming love, God, this Christ. And then and we'll be closing the show in a few minutes. We still have about maybe 10 more minutes left in the show. Co-host, let me hear your closing remarks at this time.
Praise God. We just thank God as we continue on this beautiful topic, understanding, praise God, what has really happened to us through the power of this blood and what we have been given through this. Not only that we've been redeemed, but we've been forgiven. We've been reconciled with God. As it says in our topic, we've been bought with a price and belong to God. We are known by him. We are rescued by him. We're standing on a solid foundation of the word through him, because he is the word and the word is him. He makes no mistakes. When we think about the benefits, praise God, of salvation, when we think about the benefit that we have by being saved, by having accepted him, praise God, as our Lord and Savior, praise the Lord. There's a beautiful inner peace. Praise God, through this relationship that we have with God. Praise the Lord, him redeeming us back. We have forgiveness of all of our trespasses. We have heavenly citizenship based on the reconciliation. We place on a secure foundation, which is the word of God, delivered from the penalty. Sin carries a penalty. We're delivered from the penalty and the power of sin. We placed in the care of God. 1 Peter 5:7 said we could cast our cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for us. Not only have we been placed in his care, but we are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that have been given what? To the Lord. We are heirs and joint heirs. Praise God. So we have so much to be grateful for today, so much to be thankful for. Let us examine ourselves. Search our own self. Sometimes we're so busy looking at other people and what they did and how they did. Pause for a moment and search yourself, because at the end of the day, when we stand before the Lord, he's not going to look at Dr. Chapman for Apostle Smith. He's not going to look at Evangelist Perkins for Dr. Chapman. No. Apostle Smith got to stand for herself. Dr. Chapman got to stand for herself. Evangelist Perkins got to stand for herself. Your husband ain't standing with you. Your wife, your children, you got to stand before the Lord, your own self. So examine yourself and allow the Lord, praise God, to take out anything that will hinder you from hearing him say, well done. I yield back to Evangelist Chapman, Dr. Chapman.
God bless you. God bless you. And I'm going to do my last emphasis, and I'm going to close out on the emphasis on 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, the 19 and 20 verse. Some people think that being a Christian only has to do with spiritual things and not physical things. And I explained earlier in the lesson on, however, Paul is that your physical body, along with your that your physical body, your spirit, were bought at a great price. He said, notice what he said. It was bought at a great price. When somebody laid down their life and died for you, that's a great price that Jesus paid. Not only did he die and was hung on the cross, but he suffered all night long, was beaten, spit on, kicked on, called all kind of nasty names, and just all manners of evil was done to our Jesus Christ. And that is a great price. That's not just a price. That's a great price, the blood of Jesus. And the 20th, I'm going to emphasize there in my closing, I'm going to say, once you become a Christian, your body is where the Holy Spirit lives. How do you treat your body? Remember that good health and sexual purity are integrate glorifying God with your body. Listeners, I hope that you enjoyed the show on today. We want to let Janice Perkins come in with a short closing thought, short closing thoughts, and then we're gonna, after she do her closing thoughts, she's gonna take us out and with our closing prayer. God bless you, and I want to thank you for tuning in on today. I want to thank my co-host. I want to thank Janice Perkins. And I want to thank all of our callers. And whenever I look at my dashboard and I see so many callers, I just give God the glory. I just tell the Lord, thank you. And sometimes the devil telling me that to stop facing your fears, but then the Holy Spirit reminds me that the devil didn't give that to you. I gave you, and I will not disappoint you. All that I can do, because one day when my life is over, and I cannot be no more. I want to see his servant of God. You fought a good fight and you ran a good race. And I want a good report from God when I stand before the judgment book. He banished a person to give us some closing thoughts and talk about him.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I would like to say that I'm grateful for all the listeners. And we hope that we have said something to that you can think about and get more closer to God and thank Jesus for all the things that he's done for you and get closer to him and open up your heart and let him in and be your guide. And we really appreciate you taking out time from your busy time to listen to us. And we're going to keep on praying for you. And we hope every day that you get stronger and stronger and let God have his way. Now, Heavenly Father, as we come to an end today on the show, we know that you was right there with us listening. And we just want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for allowing us to see a brand new day that we are able to be on the line one more time. And dear God, we pray you encourage the comfort that we need, dear God, to follow your instructions and do your will. We are so thankful, Heavenly Father, that day by day you keep us and you keep us in the palm of your arm. And we're so grateful. And Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you stay with us as we leave the air, that you will be with us, guide us, lead us, and continue to show us the way. Thank you, dear God, for dying on Calvary, that we may have another chance at the tree of life. These and all blessings, we thank you in our son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. And listen, this is the end of our show on today. I just want to encourage you to just keep on. Keep your hands and God's unchanging hands. For those that's listening who have not accepted Christ in your life, now is the time to give your life to God. To tell the Lord that you surrender and you surrender all to him. Find a good church, a good Bible band church, or a leader that can teach you the word of God, and you can just walk in. God bless you, and God keep you until Thursday. This is the end of our show. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.